Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. I want to read a sutta, but first a little story as to what led me to reading this sutta. So one of the monks here, Bhante Pamoda Dhammaka from France, I've had some conversations with him that have been great, and he brings up this ancient philosopher that he respects, named Diogenes, the Greek cynic Diogenes. So in the suttas, there's this dog duty ascetic, they call him. He's not a Buddhist monk, but he's one of the sadhus at the time of the Buddha, and he acts like a dog. He goes around naked, does things like a dog. And this Diogenes, this Greek cynic Diogenes, also did this too. He was kind of like a dog duty ascetic. In ancient Greece, he too was naked. He did dog-like things as well. But if you talk to him, he was very wise. Now, one of the really wise things that Diogenes taught was that we should look at our lives and not give more value to things than they actually have. Okay, like don't give too much value to things more than they actually have. And there's kind of a backstory to that where before Diogenes became this naked kind of dog duty ascetic, his family was a rich family from another city. And their job was to make the official money, the money of the country, the money of the city. It was like, they call it the mint. Like they created silver coins, the official silver coins. But Diogenes, his father, was cheating and he wasn't putting the full value of the silver into the coins that he should have. So those coins were supposed to have enough silver in them so they were actually worth what it said. So if it said 10 ringgits on that coin, there was 10 ringgits of silver in that coin. It was intrinsically worth 10 ringgits. Intrinsic means like authentic, true value. So this father was taking some of the silver out and he was putting some other cheap metal in there. So maybe there's only 6 ringgits of silver in those coins, but it said 10 on there. So this was cheating and he got caught. And then Diogenes' family was exiled. So then Diogenes went to Athens, the Greek city of Athens, and that's when he became this naked dog duty ascetic. And that was one of his lessons he would teach people, is don't give more value to things than they actually have. Just like those silver coins that you all know about didn't have the true value that they said they had. You know, they didn't have the 10 ringgits of silver. And all of you heard that story about why my family was exiled. So he kind of made a lesson out of that event. It was very controversial. And I felt that was a great lesson. And I thought to myself, surely the Buddha teaches something like this too. Yes, of course, the Buddha teaches something like this. Okay, so it took me a couple of tries to find a really good one here. Now, this is quite a long sutta, and I don't think there'll be time to read all of it. But on Monday, I do this live stream Dhamma talk on my website, and I want to go into more depth if you watch that on Monday. Okay, but here's just the summary here, which is similar. So the Buddha's talking to a householder whose name is Wajjiyamahita. Anyway, he just calls him householder. The Buddha says, I do not say, householder, of every kind of austerity that it should be practiced, nor do I say of every kind of austerity that it should not be practiced. I do not say of every observance that it should be undertaken, nor do I say of every observance that it should not be undertaken. I do not say that one should strive in every way, nor do I say that one should not strive in any way. I do not say that one should make every kind of relinquishment, nor do I say that one should not make any kind of relinquishment. I do not say that one should attain every kind of liberation, nor do I say that one should not attain any kind of liberation. If, householder, when one practices a particular austerity, unwholesome qualities increase and wholesome qualities decline, then I say one should not practice such austerity. But if, when one practices a particular austerity, unwholesome qualities decline and wholesome qualities increase, then I say one should practice such austerity. If, householder, when one undertakes a particular observance, unwholesome qualities increase and wholesome qualities decline, then I say one should not undertake such an observance. But if, when one undertakes a particular observance, unwholesome qualities decline and wholesome qualities increase, then I say one should undertake such an observance. Okay, so now this pattern keeps repeating, you know, like this paragraph I just read. So at first it was talking about austerities, and then now particular observances. And then the same thing when it comes to striving. Okay, if wholesome qualities decline, don't do it. If wholesome qualities increase, we'll do it. Okay, that's to do with any kind of striving or any kind of relinquishing. Okay, if wholesome qualities decline, don't do it. If wholesome qualities increase, do it. When it comes to a particular liberation, if wholesome qualities decline, don't do it. If wholesome qualities increase, do it. Okay, so he repeats this thorough. They call it turning the wheel. It's the same formula over and over again, where just like one word changed. They call that turning the wheel. It helps to memorize. It's a good method to help memorizing by repeating it. Kind of sets it in your memory. Okay, so the householder Waji Yamahita was really impressed by that. Okay, so that's the sutta in brief. I just love how the Buddha gives us the, you might say, guidance to think over what it is we do in our lives to try to improve ourselves, improve our happiness, improve our everything, really, our relationships, improve our, and, you know, some things are more helpful than others. Some things don't help so much, even though we think it helps or we've been told that it helps. Maybe it used to help in the past and maybe it doesn't help so much anymore. Sometimes things help a lot when you first begin to do them, and then later on, they don't help quite so much, you know, later. Like maybe an example that is like, it's like a purge detox. Yeah. Like the liver cleanse and this kind of thing. A lot of these detoxes, I've done a few of these myself in the past, and the first once or twice or even three times, yeah, a lot of detoxifying happens and it's very dramatic. And, but when I did it like the fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, there wasn't so much benefit, not so much detoxing. But then maybe I tried a different method of detoxing, and then that cleaned out some different thing, different kind of impurity or whatever. Then that one worked really well the first few times, and then not so much after that. You know what I mean? So sometimes something helps a lot at first, but then later on, not so much. Sometimes we have to change our strategy a little bit to adjust to the conditions. Yeah, so these kind of suttas I really like. And this is very similar to what Diogenes said about don't give more value to something than it's really worth. So that the first few detoxes were worth a lot, and then the next few after that weren't worth quite so much. So a sutta like this invites us to see that pattern. This sutta is Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Tens, Sutta 94. I especially love hearing when there's this fancy word, consilience. consilience. So when Diogenes had this lesson about don't give more value to something than it's worth, and then I found a sutta from the Buddha, and it's very similar. And they're kind of saying the same thing there. It's kind of a nice match. So that's consilience. Consilience means there's some overlap. There's some similarity there, like strong similarity. And it's between different teachers. And as you know, a lot of the monks here are Westerners. So we bring with us to Buddhism this strong, shall we say, cultural value of we love it when there's good logic. We love it when things are said in a concise way, a very straightforward, simple way, even blunt. There's a lot of influence from these ancient Greeks in Western culture, you know, like, let's say, from Plato or Socrates. A lot of their, that was kind of like the Confucius of Western culture, was Plato and Socrates, for how influential they were. So yeah, when I find these consilience type things, I feel that's really helpful to reach out to Westerners more and show them, you know, you can find Westerner-like values in Buddhism if you know where to look. Suttas like this don't get read very much, but I feel this is the kind of sutta that Westerners would relate to quite easily. It appeals to their sense of logic and reasoning. Yeah, if you look on my website, a lot of the Dhamma talks I did are like this. They are finding consilience between the Buddhist teachings and kind of more modern thinking, usually Western-style thinking. Okay, let us now invite our departed relatives, friends, and all beings to rejoice in the merit we have made. Let us recite together. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang no nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Eta vata cha amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Let us make an aspiration for Nibbana. Please repeat after me. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang Nibbanasa pachayo hotu.